John chapter 14 is our scripture that we'll be spending some time in this morning as we continue our study on prayer and come today to one of the big questions about prayer, and that is, what about those unanswered prayers? And I'm using that word unanswered prayer the way we most humanly use it, which is, I didn't get the answer I wanted, you know, because, you know, no is an answer, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you can't talk about prayer without realizing that there are people who feel as if their prayers are not being answered, and we need to honestly deal with that subject. He had just gotten laid off work. The economy was tight. He had some of his Christian friends pray that he'd find a job. And he did, the next week, with a higher salary and more benefits. He'd also gotten laid off. The economy was tight. He had some of his Christian friends pray that he'd find a job. That was 6 months ago. He's still looking. He's lost his house, had to trade down in cars, wonders how much longer before he'll have to file bankruptcy. Why does God seem to answer some prayers and not other prayers? I think most of us who've been Christians for very long realize God does answer prayer. And the question that we're more specifically asking is, why didn't he answer this particular prayer? From our human standpoint, it seems that God sometimes picks and chooses which prayer he answers. And to understand this, we've got to do a little bit of study in what Jesus teaches us in John 14 on how to pray. In verses 13 and 14, he says, I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Now, let's be honest, for most of us, especially if we're in public and there's maybe more than one person praying, you're supposed to pray in Jesus' name, amen. That way they know you're done, you know, and in Jesus' name just kind of is kind of like sincerely yours. No, that's not what it means to pray in Jesus' name. When you study this biblically, it means three things. To pray in Jesus' name means first to pray within the limits of his power. Now, when you first hear me say that, you say, what do you mean the limits of his power? He has all power. He spoke and the worlds came into existence. He keeps all of the planets in orbit by his powerful word. But it's important, and I need you to kind of buckle in here for a couple minutes. It's important for us to realize that God has limited himself in one very crucial area. God made man in his image, and part of his image is we have a will. That is to say, we have the ability and the freedom to choose for ourselves. God is love, and he wanted us to love him not because we had to, but because we choose to. He could have made us as robots, just going through, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But love is not like that. Love is not really love if you have to coerce it back. Love is to be freely given and freely reciprocated. And so God wanted us to love him because we wanted to, not because we had to. So he created us with what the scholars call free moral agency. That is to say, we have a choice in how we live our lives. Every parent who can remember what it's like to have a toddler understands we are born with a will. It is that will that when we say, come here, the toddler says, no. You know, you didn't have to teach them that. That's the will that they are born with. It was that will that Adam and Eve experienced when they chose in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, to eat the forbidden fruit. Now, if you have the ability to choose, then you have to be given a choice. It's no good to have the ability to choose if you don't have a choice. You know, when Henry Ford invented the first Ford automobiles, he said you can have any color you want as long as it's black, because that's all the ones he made. So we have a will. To have a will, you have to have an option to choose, which is why, if you remember the story of Genesis 3, God created man, put him in the middle of this garden, and he said, you can eat from every tree in this garden except this one. And he put it right in the center of the garden. He didn't hide it. He didn't try to trick him. He said, you can have every tree except this one. And you know what happened? They went for that one. They exercised their will to disobey God. And so we need to understand that God created us with that ability to choose. We choose whether we're going to live for Him or not. We choose whether we're going to love Him or not. We choose whether we're going to obey Him or not, whether we're going to walk with Him or not. He will not force you to do something against your will. And that's why we need to understand this, because when I reflect back on my life and when I talk to other people, it seems to me that many of the prayers that seem to go unanswered are prayers that involve other people. Either it was directly for that person, maybe we're praying for them to get saved, we're praying for them to get free from addiction, we're praying for them to get their life straight, we're praying for them to get a better attitude, whatever it is, or other people had to do or not do something in order for that prayer to be answered. And I believe that God will do everything He can to answer our prayers that are in His will, but He will not force anyone to do anything against their will, even answer your prayer. So understand that when we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, the limits of His power mean we understand, Lord, that while we're praying for that person or that situation, things have to happen, and that person has to be willing. And so, Lord, I'm going to keep praying, and I pray that Your Holy Spirit will work in their lives and make them willing, help them to see, wake them up. But at the same time, we realize God's not going to force them. I heard a preacher say one time that there will be people in heaven who don't want to be there, but God had decided they were going to heaven. That's nowhere in the Scriptures. So please understand that praying in Jesus' name includes the limit of His power, that He will not force someone to obey Him. The second thing it means to pray in His name is that we pray within the confines of His will. He says, if you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. In another place, He says, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we ask of Him. If we ask anything according to His will. I mentioned to you last week, and I cannot give you a 5-step program to do this. It just happens as you spend consistent time with God. He will tweak your praying so that you are praying in His will. When He says, if you ask according to My will, He's not giving us a cop-out. He's saying, I want you to pray until you know My will, and then I want you to pray My will be done. And again, that I wish there was a way I could say, here's 3 ways to start to learn how to pray in God's will. But it really does happen as you're praying in a situation. I mentioned to you one of our kids last week. I mentioned another one that we were praying about this job and desperately praying about this job, didn't get the job. had two or three opportunities, didn't get any of them. And then something happened to a friend that required them to take a lot of care of that friend in the last days of their life. And shortly thereafter, a better job came available and she got it. And she said to me, "Dad, I couldn't have handled that new job a year ago when we were praying about it, because God knew there were other things that were getting ready to happen and it wasn't the right time." So as you pray, God will lead you. No, don't pray that. Don't pray that they get this job. Pray that they get the job I have for them, and that might be still in the future. So we pray according to His will, and we pray within the framework of His nature and His character. In other words, you can't expect God to answer a prayer like, "God, I know I'm going to go sin now, but I hope that you'll forgive me ahead of time." Or, you know, "Lord, I know that I'm going to do what you don't want me to do, but I want you to bless it anyway." No, that's not within His context. That's not within His character. It's not within His nature. Somebody said a lot of the praying we do is, "Lord, please don't let 2 + 2 = 4 this time." You know, we know that we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing, and we're still praying for God to bless us. Not going to happen. So we pray in Jesus' name. Secondly, John 15, verse 7, He says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you." If you remain in me, that's a life of obedience. The importance of staying obedient to God. That word remain, the King James uses the word abide, means to maintain an unbroken connection with Him. We all know people who are prayer commuters. They pray when they get in trouble. They forget about God all the rest of the time, but when they get in trouble, boy, they run to prayer. That's not what the promise is for. The promise is for those who remain in Christ, who maintain a connection with Him. And we are able to do that, the second part of that verse, "My words remain in you." That is to say, as we spend time in the Scriptures, as we spend time studying His word, our spirit becomes more in tune with His spirit, and our prayers will be more in line with Him. I mentioned to you the last couple of weeks, take time to listen. Take time to say, "God, help me understand how I need to pray about this situation." And then again, according to His will. Listen to His voice. Slow down in your praying. Let me take the time to give you another illustration of this from our lives. You know, our kids were born in the Lamaze era, you know, when natural childbirth, and you weren't supposed to have, you know, any drugs or anything, just supposed to and breathe the right way and you wouldn't hurt. Mamas say that don't work. but that was the thing back then, Lamaze childbirth. In our congregation, there were good friends of ours who were pregnant and were praying. They wanted a natural childbirth. And that was huge in those days. And so we had a small group that had been studying, praying, and so we got word from the husband, "We're at the hospital, labor starting, pray that we'll have a natural childbirth." So our group, we took that seriously. We prayed they'd have a natural childbirth. Hours passed. Nothing's happening. Keep praying we have a natural childbirth. Nothing. Poor lady starting labor and just excruciating and nothing happening and, you know, no dilation, nothing's going on. Keep praying for a natural childbirth. All right. Then finally we got a call from the husband. I don't remember how many hours into the process this was, where he said, "Stop praying for a natural childbirth. Just pray that the baby's healthy." And we prayed that the baby was healthy, and we got another call within like 45 minutes. Baby's born and healthy. Well, the next time our small group gets together, you know what happens. "Okay, Pastor Ken, what happened? We prayed for this and prayed for this. What happened?" And because the Lord is merciful and gracious, He gave me a question to ask. And I said, "As you were praying for the natural childbirth, What were you sensing in your spirit? And every single one of us said, we felt like that's not how we should be praying. Oh, listen. I don't know why, but it was a situation where God said, no, that's not what I'm praying for. And I don't know how all this works in eternity, but I wonder if part of the reason that she had to go through those hours of non-productive labor was because it was a bunch of people praying she'd have a natural childbirth, and God was trying to get our attention to say, that's not what you should be praying. So, you know, take some time sometimes and reflect back. Maybe there have been experiences like that that you've had. You've been praying so hard about one thing that you don't listen to the little voice inside you that says, uh-uh, no, pray this instead. So pray according to his will and listen to those promptings. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to lead us so that we can pray then according to his will. And in Matthew 21, Jesus says, if you believe, you'll receive what you ask for. Don't go into prayer saying, oh, God, I don't think you care about me, and I don't even think you answer prayer. But they said I'm supposed to pray, so here it goes. No, God doesn't answer that kind of prayer. He answers believing prayer. God, I don't quite understand it all, but I trust you. Remember, was it last week I said you need enough faith to pray, you need enough faith to obey, and you need enough faith to stay at it and keep praying. If you've got that much faith, you've got enough faith. But then, there are times when prayers are unanswered. Why? This is not anywhere near an exhaustive list. You can do your own study of why prayers aren't answered, but let me just give you a few. Prayers are unanswered first if there's willful disobedience in our lives. Psalm 66:18, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, God says, it's not the fact that God can't hear you, it's the fact that your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. And 1 Peter 3 says, the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. If you know that there are areas in your life where you are deliberately, willfully being disobedient, your prayers aren't going to be answered. Please understand that. Your prayers are not answered if there's willful disobedience in your life. I don't mean that you messed up. I mean, you just know that deliberately you're doing what God said not to do. Your prayers aren't going to be answered as long as that willful disobedience continues in your life. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because of wrong motives. James chapter 4, verse 3, James says, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. Sometimes our prayers are prayed with selfish motives. Lord, I need you to show them a thing or two, so would you please do this, you know? So when you pray selfishly, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to pray for the people you love and care for, but those prayers with just selfish motives, to elevate me, to make me look better, to make me look good, not going to get answered. And this is a sticky one. Sometimes wrong relationships stop our prayers being answered. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, husbands, be considerate as you live with your wife so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Whoa, that's powerful, guys. You know, make sure that we are living with our wives with consideration to our wives so that our prayers will not be hindered. And then if there are idols in my life, Exodus 14, the prophet says, these men have set up idols in their hearts. Should I let them ask anything of me? And just if you wonder what that is, an idol is anything that comes between you and God. That's what an idol is. Anything that's more important to you than your relationship with God. Sometimes, and we kind of alluded to this a minute ago, spiritual pride stops our prayers from being answered. James 4:6, God resists the proud. What is spiritual pride? Spiritual pride is, well, you know, when I pray, God answers my prayer. That's so subtle. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, I was praying and the Lord told me this and I did it and it's been wonderful. I said, are you praising God or are you praising yourself? You know, just watch out for spiritual pride. But then, and this is what we need to wrap our heads around, sometimes nobody but God knows why those prayers aren't answered. Deuteronomy 29:29, I mentioned this verse to you a few weeks ago. The secret things belong to the Lord. There are so many things in the life of faith that we will not understand in this life. If when we get to heaven, they're still important to us and God chooses to, he may reveal them to us. But those hidden things, they belong to God. And we have to be willing to trust him even when I don't understand him. Lord, I don't know why you're not answering this prayer. I'm trying to listen to you. I don't sense that I'm praying, you know, in a wrong way. So, Lord, I just have to commit it to you. And I'm going to keep praying and keep trusting you until you give me some more information. Now, when we talk about unanswered prayer, we need to clarify how prayers are answered. Because sometimes it's not an unanswered prayer. It's just been answered in a different way than we were looking. So our favorite way for prayer to be answered is yes, immediately. We like that. We like to pray, and before we get finished praying, the answer's already there. Peter, Matthew chapter 14. He's out walking on the water with Jesus, and all of a sudden he looks around and realizes, uh-oh, I'm out here on the water. My feet's not supposed to be walking on the water. And he starts to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. And it says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I'm glad for those times where I prayed, Lord, help! And immediately the help came. We like those answers. But sometimes the answer is delayed. That is to say, the answer is yes, but later. John chapter 11. Jesus' friend Lazarus is sick. Word comes to him. You need to go see your buddy. He's sick. Then he gets word that he's died. And he waits two more days until he knows Lazarus is dead. And by the time Jesus gets to where Lazarus is buried, Lazarus has been buried for 4 days. So it seems like Jesus had answered that prayer, no, I don't care. But if you know the story, you know that when he got there, he raises Lazarus from the dead. So the answer was not no, it was just delayed. Yes, but later. I think it was Robert Schuller who had a little saying that's pretty good. He said, when the prayer is wrong, God says no. When you are wrong, God says grow. When the timing is wrong, God says slow. But when everything is right, God says go. I think that's good. Because sometimes the answer is, I got to grow. Sometimes the answer is, it's not right yet. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is go. Which leads me to remind you that no is an answer. Do you ever have a young child come to you and say, Mama, can I do this? No. 5 minutes later, Mama, can I do this? No. 5 minutes later, Mama, can I do this? I've already told you no. And their response was, but no is not an answer. You know, kids don't think no's an answer. We don't think no's an answer when we're praying, but no is an answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you remember Paul has this thorn in the flesh. He calls it a minister of Satan to torment him. And three times, probably over a series of time, three times he asks for God to deliver him from this thorn in the flesh. And three times God says no. But my grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Apparently, Paul had to learn some things through that process about himself and about God. But no is an answer. And sometimes we pray and God says no. Sometimes the answer is different than what we're expecting. And we're so wrapped up in praying the problem that we can't see that God sent the answer. He just sent it in a different way than we were looking for. I tell people, don't ever pray for patience. Because Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, tribulation brings patience. And so if you're praying for patience, you're going to get some tribulation. And who in the world would want to pray for more of that? But sometimes the answer is different. Sometimes you're praying about one thing and you're praying in a certain way. And if you'll listen, God will gradually kind of tweak how you're praying, because he's going to answer it in a different way. When I was in college, you know, we're studying for the ministry, and we'd have a chapel every day, and kids would get up and give a testimony to how I didn't have enough money for my school bill, and I went down to the post office, and there was a check from my home church, just enough to pay my school bill. I do not remember being in school one time getting a check in my mailbox when I needed money. But you know what I got? I got a phone call. Is this Ken? Yeah. You shingle, right? Yeah. I got a roof that needs to be done. Can you do it? I wanted God to send me a check. He sent me a job. All right. He's answering my prayer. He's just doing different than I expect him to. So be open to the different ways God wants to answer your prayer. But I can't leave without asking this question. Why does God say no sometimes? Because he does. Why does he say no sometimes? First, he knows things we don't. Have you figured that out yet? He knows things we don't. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Proverbs 2, he guards the course of the just. He protects the way of his faithful ones. Many, many years ago, way back before cell phones and GPS, we had moved into the area, and people told, I meant to check before today, but I don't even know if it's still in existence. Is Whitewater still in existence? I don't know. There used to be a water park northwest of Atlanta called Whitewater. And people say, you need to take your kids to Whitewater. So we got in the car, stupid. We got in the car, made the trip to northwest Atlanta, and had a nice day at Whitewater. And then we started to come home. And we hit one of those Atlanta traffic jams. You know, Danny, Donna's brother, who's a missionary in Nigeria, when they have a traffic jam in Nigeria, they call it a go slow. This was not a go slow. This was no go. You know, this is six lanes. I think we were still on 285. Six lanes of nothing but parking lot. What are you going to do? I mean, I've been in the sun all day long. My patience is thin. I need to get home. Something said to me, you know, they probably have traffic helicopters. Now, see, if it had been in the days of GPS, and I said, take me to Whitewater, GPS would say, are you out of your ever-loving mind? Why would you want to do that? You know, but at least it would give me directions right ahead of time. And by the way, I've learned to trust that, because it knows things I don't know. I said, let's check. I found a local station that had a traffic helicopter up in the air. And he said, here's what's going on. Here's where it's happening. Here's the best way to work around it. And I was able to follow his directions and work my way around it because he knew things I didn't know, because he had perspective I didn't have. And I need to understand that when I'm praying and God says no, it's because he knows things I don't know. He sees things I don't see. He has an eternal perspective I don't have. Now, sometimes, if you want to learn a theological truth, you just need a good old country song. And this is one written by Garth Brooks. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. As I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me in her eyes too, it seemed. We talked about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, I looked at my wife, and then and there, I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life, because sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care, because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. He knows things we don't know. The second reason sometimes he says no is because his kingdom is more important than my kingdom. Lord, here's my plan. Bless what I'm getting ready to do. And God says, no. You need to be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. His ways are higher than ours. His plans are higher than ours. In Hebrews 11, the Hebrew writer talks about these people who gave their lives for their faith without ever seeing the promise. And he says none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us. Sometimes God says no because there's other kingdom work he wants us to do. Another way to say that is his plan is broader than ours. Isaiah 46, my purpose will stand. Somebody said behind every problem, there's a purpose, not necessarily an explanation. So sometimes when God says no, there's a purpose to it. His plan, his purpose is broader than ours. The Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome and preach. Instead, he ended up in prison. And during that time in prison, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Which is better, you know, a three-day crusade in Rome or writing four books of the New Testament that 2,000 years later we're still learning from? See, God's plan is broader than ours. His purpose is broader than ours. God's motivation for us is always love, and he always promises us, if I say no to you, my grace is sufficient for you. And we have to reach the point where we say, God, I trust you even when I don't understand. You are worthy of my praise when nothing seems to be going the way I want it to. If God never answers another prayer for you, is what Jesus did on the cross enough for you to love him? Ought to be. But what do you do when you just can't seem to figure out why the answer isn't coming? When I've done everything I know to do, when I'm praying, when I've asked God to show me if there's anything in my life that's hindering my prayers, and there's no answer, what do you do? I'm going to tell you what not to do. Don't give up on God. God, I trust you. If you never say yes to another prayer I pray, I trust you. Don't give up on praying. Keep on praying. In the early days of electricity reaching out to the rural areas, there was a process. They had to dig the holes, then they had to set the power poles, then they had to string the wire. And every day, they're digging holes, and they're setting the poles in the ground, and they're stringing the wire. And one day, the last hole is dug, the last pole is set, the last few yards of wire is strung, the connection is made from the power source to your electrical box, the switch is flipped, and you have light. So what prayer is. Prayer is spending a lot of time digging holes and setting poles and stringing wires, saying, God, I trust you. You said to pray and keep on praying. I'm going to pray and keep on praying. I'm not giving up on prayer. And don't give up on faith. Keep believing. The problem is not your faith. There's other things going on. Trust God and keep praying. Lord, your will be done. And as we sang, trust and obey. Stay obedient to what God is showing you now. See, sometimes God wants to answer your prayer, but there's still some areas in your life that need to be straightened out before you're able to receive the answer in its fullness. So stay obedient to Him. Don't let a prayer that seems to be unanswered discourage you from praying. Keep on praying. Lord, here I am again. I know I've been praying this for 3 years, but Lord, I'm going to pray it again today, and I'm going to pray it again tomorrow, and I'm going to pray it again next week until either you tell me stop praying, or you tell me pray this way instead, or you give me some kind of an indication of what I need to be doing. I'm going to keep on praying. And I'm just going to keep on digging holes and setting poles and stringing wire because I don't know the day that the connection's going to be made. But I trust you, God, and I trust that you know things I don't. I know that you have a plan, so I'm going to keep on praying the best I know in your will and allow you to work it out. Mike sent me this song a few weeks ago. He said, this might work in your prayer series. It's a song by Matthew West. There'll be a link in the comment description section. I encourage you. It's 4 minutes long. I encourage you to find it. This is Matthew West, and it's a song of encouragement that just says, don't stop praying. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine on you and give you His peace now and evermore. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today. God bless you. Go in peace.